The power of a bold idea uttered publicly in defiance of dominant opinion cannot be easily measured. Those special people who speak out in such a way as to shake up not only the self-assurance of their enemies, but the complacency of their friends are precious catalysts for change. And that quote comes from Howard Zinn. Been a lot of Howard Zinn quotes on the show lately. I do love his quotes. He's certainly a warehouse of good things to say. Now, we've got an interesting show here for you today. I've got some people here, and we're going to be talking about the One People's Public Trust. And I'm being joined on this call by a multinational force. We have Scott and Ken Bartle, who recently made a video called What the FUQ, which you can find on YouTube. You can also find on my Crow House. We've got Bob Wright. We've got Chris Hales and Lisa Harrison. And we're also joined by Heather Tucci-Jarriff, I think I've got that right, who is the actual author, I believe, of the People's Trust. So this has really sparked a lot of interest with people. I've been getting messages from all over the world from people that have wanted me to look at this trust. And so I've had a bit of a look at it, and I've found it to be quite an exciting event. And so I've brought all these people on to try and explain it to people in layman's terms so everybody can understand what's going on here. So what I'm going to do is open the floor up to you guys. If there's one of you that would particularly like to say something or explain the basis of the trust to us, just please take it away and give us your elevator version of what this is all about.
I think we all suggested Heather would be the best person for that.
Okay.
Well, it could be Heather, or if you would like to read out the document that you have prepared, or whatever you've got, whatever you guys want to do that you think will reach the people in a clear enough manner so that people can understand what's actually going on here with this trust and what it means for them.
I would ask that Scott and Ken take it from the human perspective and experience, and then I can fill in what the People's Public Trust did at the the same process in a universal level. Would that be okay?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Right, hey. Thanks, Heather. Max? Right, well, I suppose the basic intro was I had a practical example where I was importing a car from the States over to Australia. And in that process, I ran into all sorts of roadblocks, specifically with the Department of Transport. And it took about 9 months to get that import approval finalized and actually get that piece of paper in my hands. In that process, I found all sorts of dramas and moving the goalposts along the way. And that sparked me to start questioning exactly what was happening. So when my car actually got to Fremantle here in Australia, I had another roadblock put in front of me that I hadn't been alerted to prior, which was a requirement to import or pay for a license to import essentially the air conditioner within the car. It was a pre-charged equipment license. At that point, I'd had enough. I'd been pushed over the edge, having been dragged through 9 months of getting an import approval, and put my hand up and started questioning what was going on. In so doing, basically, I uncovered all sorts of little anomalies with the so-called government, and they turned out to be a company pretending to be government. And so far, absolutely every single politician, minister, judge, police commissioner, governor general, you name it, from top to bottom, every single one of them who's been asked for evidence that they are literally real government, de jure government, have declined, run away, gone dead silent, and some of them have even been bold enough to write back and say, I refuse to answer that question, which is pretty arrogant in my mind. So in that process, I pretty much stumbled to the idea whilst I was sitting on the bus coming home from work that I could no longer treat them as government. They were essentially just a corporation, so let's treat them as one. So I offered terms and conditions to them and specified the method of acceptance. And in so doing, customs, who had were starting to charge me or wanted to charge me for taxes. Basically couldn't resist and performed those actions that accepted my terms and conditions. And I liken this to basically a car park. They put the terms and conditions up on the wall outside the car park, and you look at those on the way in and decide, do I want to go into this car park or do I want to go into the one next door? And when you do drive into that car park, it's those actions that are the acceptance of those terms. And so I put all of this to customs. They've just sat there dead quiet, hung onto my car, performed the actions to accept the terms and conditions, and I've been invoicing them ever since. I since went on to file a lien for the recovery, and so we bring ourselves all the way up to today, where I've basically got to the point where I'm now ready for enforcement. Now, the process was no different to pointing at a judgment that we reached at the end of an administrative process, and that was the determination of the capacity of customs acting as a corporate entity. And I thought, well, banks do this sort of thing when they run you through the court process. You come out with a judgment that's against you, and the bank sits there and points at that judgment till the cows come home forever and after. And they'll point at that judgment, and regardless of you huffing and puffing or jumping up and down and objecting, they just sit there and point at the court judgment. So I thought, well, I can do the same thing. I'll point at the judgment that I got that determines customs are acting in the capacity of a corporate entity. And that, I suppose, is the intro to where I got to with the One People's Public Trust, in as much as here are all these UCC filings that are the evidence that replace my judgment of these, of the capacity in which these folk are acting. And in this case, now they're all foreclosed, and I can point at that and use that going forwards. Does that give you a bit of an intro as to how that works, guys?
Yeah, that gives me an understanding of how you came to find out about all this. When you say you point to that and they're foreclosed, how does that work? How can they be foreclosed? Explain that to me.
Well, I suppose the same process employed, but at a much higher level. While I was dealing with a let's just say small fry down the bottom end of the scale, a company pretending to be government down here in Australia. From what I understand, is Heather, as a trustee, put her own mortgages or properties on the line to test out the system and find out what was going on, and found all sorts of fraud and deceptive acts going on, and put to the principles of these corporations that are pretending to be government at the very highest level, as the principle of these corporate governments, and we're talking the likes of the Bank of International Settlements, Treasury, Federal Reserve, jump in if there's any more that you want to add.
The UN?
Yep. So we're going right to the top and putting the same thing to them in sort of process to determine capacity and putting allegations to them for their rebuttal as to whether they were performing these acts or whether they were squeaky clean. And same way, we reached a judgment where we say, oh, hang on, no, they have been performing these acts, which led to a process of foreclosure where you close them down. If that's my understanding, that's probably a good intro to Chris or Heather to jump in on that one.
Okay, so yeah. How does this lead into the One People's Trust? How did that then lead into this One People's Trust? So I believe you became aware of Scott and Ken's work, Heather.
Yeah, well, I'll make an admission. First off, I already knew everything was corporations. We already knew that there were no loans. Through my experiences, my training, and learning the mechanics of it all. And so it wasn't really a matter of trying to discover where to go, how to do things. It was more a matter of how do you go in, because you have to establish prudence. In anything you do, any investigation, you need to have the backing for the actual step or move that you make, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was hidden. These processes that, you know, Scott was talking about, you have to lay a paper trail or a money trail, expose a money trail and a paper trail where none has ever existed before. So that's really what OPPT did, was go in and expose the money and the paper trail. And by doing that, we just went to the nexus point. So the nexus point basically is a principal agent doctrine. You know, notice to principal is notice to agent. Notice to agent is notice to principal. And every corporation, the founder, the CEO, they're all responsible for their agent's actions. Unless the agent has no authorization or authority to act on their behalf, but they have to let people know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was what we did. We went in, and BIS is the principal agent for all the principles of the slavery systems. A slavery system is one where they have a legal system and it has to provide remedy. And when it does not provide the remedy that's preserved, then all of a sudden the system is unlawful and it's illegal. It's a slavery system.
Okay.
And that's all that was done. So, you know, there were a lot of groups that were planning on making a revenue stream out of this process, trying to make a lot of money in teaching people how to do it. And yet we find, we know from experience that that's a portal for the powers that were to come in and stop things, exert undue influence in any, you know, force or coercion or threat of force and coercion. And not only that, you sometimes will get people with, who start with very good intentions, but when money is involved trying to make a revenue stream, well, you see it in the attorney field. You know, they're there for the billing hours. They're not there for the most part to help and assist people. Otherwise, they would look at who they're actually licensed to, which would be the Crown.
Hmm.
So in order to prevent that misuse, abuse, or manipulation, there's another nexus point. The nexus point is source. I call it source. Some people call it God, Allah, Yahweh, doesn't matter. But essentially that's prime, that's zero point. You know, you are created by source and there's nothing in between. You own your own body, your own mind, and any creation you do there from. So we didn't go in to basically foreclose on everyone. All we did was establish for everyone's benefit, hey, we be. And we registered that. They would have to rebut that and say that they own you. They created you, or they otherwise somehow control you. Now, they're not going to show that. They're not going to show the agreements, the treaties, the acts that have been done behind closed doors because they admit the slavery system right there. So the foreclosure was a benefit of everyone being and registering their being because it just collapsed that whole system.
Okay, and you've kind of just done this by lodging this as a UCC filing, haven't you? Because I was talking to some guys in Ireland about this earlier on in the day, and they said, oh, this sounds great. I kind of gave them my skeletal understanding of it, and they said, this sounds great. How do we get involved? And I said, well, that's the thing. I think you already are. I think everybody's involved simply because this is filed. It's essentially collapsed the system. It's put humanity back above the system. And it's reestablished our rightful place just below the creator. And everything below that is fiction. It's just up for you to now spread the word and get an understanding and spread it into people's minds that the terrain has now changed. Is that sort of what's going on?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. The UCC is the supreme law of the planet. They say it's a constitution, but that's just to keep you in the distraction. Constitution is just a contract. But you guys aren't signatories to it. None of us are, except for those that sign on the dotted line. So the UC, what they did was they uniformed everything in order to make a very precise and effective transfer tracking mechanism for the powers that were and their quote-unquote holdings, which include birth certificates, which include land titles, and they're all illegally begotten. So nothing can be born of a fraud. So the UCC is actually a nexus point where everything is put under it. The Federal Reserve was put under it. All the central banks were put under it. The BIS was put under it. All of the quote-unquote countries, nations, states, cities, everything was put under it. And they tried to hide that fact. And when you walk in and you say the UCC, you'll hear judges play off a script that they've been given saying the UCC doesn't apply. Yet, when you go into a criminal court, for instance, on the top of a complaint, a charge, a criminal charge, it'll say Uniform Criminal Court Docket, a UCC docket. So the UCC is the only place you have to register. It's called Notice by Public Registration, and you only file into a UCC. Well, UCCs are hard for most people to even get. It's a whole language above and beyond itself. So in order to make sure the people didn't make a mistake and spend a lifetime going through what Scott went through or others went through, we were able to go in under God, Allah, Yahweh, Source, First Source, whatever you want to call it, and register everyone's being, and it just collapsed everything else. So okay, it is applicable everywhere.
So this is already in place, and it isn't like people have to go and sign up for anything. It's already in place. They just have to become aware of it, basically.
It's already in place. The only thing you guys have to do now is just be and do what you be. So this document that Scott, Ken, and Chris worked on, it's beautiful because it says, here's a courtesy notice. You've already been noticed through the proper public registration system that you all were registered under. Now, here's a courtesy notice because you're personally going to be responsible now. That's the only thing you guys have to do. All the rest was taken care of. And it was done by the OPPT for you guys to be able to be.
And like this can even stand up in court. I mean, what you're basically doing with this courtesy notice is you're letting people know that the terrain has now changed and that the rules are now different.
Well, it's not even a court anymore. It's you and the judge, and the judge is on his personal liability.
Yeah, you're operating in 100% liability with everybody.
There's only three things left.
Lisa, you have to understand what the court is, though. Anytime you step into a court, it's a private court. It's not even a court. It's a private corporation. So if you do the same courtesy notice to them, you know, I have documents that purport to be a summons or a complaint. I would be happy to comply as soon as you can show me the same things Scott asked the quote-unquote Commonwealth of Australia to show, which they refused to do. And you don't have to ever step into that court. You guys can't control whether they're going to make a choice to be corrupt. What you can do is be diligent in keeping a track record of their actions, accepting their actions as their admission of their corruption, their choice to be corrupt and a co-actor.
Mm. No, excellent, excellent. So,
Max, by using the UCC, which is the same harvesting tool that they were using against us, is really important, because for them to deny it and to say that it's invalid or it has no relevance, they're also denying their whole harvesting system, which they use to base their tax collections, all of their foreclosures. They're all using that same mechanism. So to deny the filings would be to deny their own selves and their own system, which they use against us. So it's really a catch-22 that you put them in that position.
It's kind of a checkmate for them, isn't it?
Yes, it was a very fun experience for me, at least.
So what do you say to people who say, well, yeah, okay, it's all very well that you filed this, but how come the system's still running?
Yeah, the system, the energy's been cut off from the system. Energy in every form of representation, meaning all of the paper that they had, they can't use it. The gold that they had, that's all been essentially reclaimed and rescued and cached away so that it could have a chance to recalibrate itself for this upcoming moment. And all of the energy that you see is just the energy that was in the tube, so to speak, when the OPPT cut everything off. So yeah, they're running on the last bit of energy that was in their engine already.
Yeah, and they're doing so because a lot of them don't actually know that the system's collapsed. So what do you say to people that say, "Oh no, this is terrible. This will bring down the system and usher in the new world order." That's what I've heard some people saying. What do you say to people like this?
Well, I say that the precautions have been taken. We considered all of that. That's why the CVACs are there. If there's a corporation that the people are going to be said they're a part of, well, they should own it. You know, they should have a system that's transparently of service to them, accountable to them. So the CVACs were set up just as a temporary, here's where you can place everything transparently by your own will and free will choice. However, you know, I've had this in place. The OpenT had it in place back in the end of November. And our first choice was to go in and recognize everybody and give them the data. Instead of going in, making the systems of assistance, treasuries, and cutting paper everywhere, and then having that paper be negotiated behind closed doors with banks or anybody else, it was important to have the people be and do. So it's all sitting there. There's nothing, it can happen in a twinkling of an eye. There's no void, no gap, no anything, but it's up to the people to choose whether to be. And it's okay to move along and kind of not know how to be. That's normal after what we've all been through. But yeah, that's where we help each other.
Yeah, well, what it seems like what you've done with the CVAC is you've basically left the infrastructure there. You've said, well, basically, we own all this. We paid for it. And so now it's there. We have to decide what to do with it. And for people who need the security of the system, well, it's still here. It isn't like it's gone anywhere. It's just that we are now back in control of it.
Yeah. There's 194 branches, I think. The only branch that wasn't established as far as mirroring the old system was the one for the Vatican.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, the two things that the trustees did, there's sort of two parts to the equation which completely overlap. One was to gather together the financial system and essentially collapse it and take that value back for the people. And the other was to actually put forward the skeletal form of a new structure of we don't want to call it government or even governance, an assistance, a system of assistance is, and if anyone can think of a really neat term for it, please tell us. That has also been put before us. And it's, as Heather said at the moment, it's sitting there, it's holding its place because it contains all the value from the old system. And the thing that I'd like to put to your users is that's actually the most important thing. I wouldn't focus on the foreclosures because that's a fact and it's done. Hard to get your head around. Took us quite a while, but what follows is by far the most important, and that's the most important part of the conversation that you can have at this stage. Now, if you've just come into this, it's a bit of cognitive dissonance and suddenly being in a landscape where there's nothing but us, the planet, and the creator, or everything else is literally stripped away. You need to kind of sit with that and think about it for a while. And one of the ways that you can, you know, digest it all is to go and read some of the CVAC specifications on the People's Trust website. There's some incredible descriptions of transparency, of integrity, equality, equity. It's remarkable and it's never been seen on this planet before.
Okay, so like, what if someone was, they've heard about this and they're at something like, they're at Doubtful Creek at a coal seam gas protest. The police have arrived, they're trying to ship them on, the people are there trying to protect the water table, and the police have come along and they're protecting this corporation and they're just pushing the people out. What can you do in a situation like that using this type of a trust, what you put in place?
Handle the police officers the courtesy notice, for one.
Okay, yeah, that's what I would say would be the best thing to do. What if they say this doesn't mean anything, I'm going to arrest you anyway. You say, well, okay, that's fine, we'll deal with it down the track.
They just became your first customer.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you would do, as long as you know the names, you have to know the names of the individuals. If you have the names of the individuals, you just serve it on them the next day. If they throw it in the mud, that's fine. Serve another copy the next day. and make the point that they've committed you harm by manhandling you. If you were manhandled, they're not entitled to do that. And if it was your farm they were on, they were actually trespassing and damaging your property. And they have no right to do that either. So you can begin that process.
And you'd begin that process by putting, what, a commercial lien on them?
Well, in fact, the process that we're using in the document that's been produced is based along the principles that Scott used, where we actually, we as an individual, pulling up this other individual because they're doing us a harm, and we're saying, we're not going to interact with you except on our own terms, and here are our terms, and if you do any of the things on this list over here, I'm going to send you an invoice. Oh, and by the way, if you persist in this, my second option is a UCC filing against your personal assets, because this is you talking to another individual. There's no corporation in play, even though they think there's one. So the courtesy in this is the fact that you're not jumping all over them with a commercial lien to start off with. You're giving them a chance to cease and desist without getting too hot and heavy over it. Putting liens on people is a serious business. And we think a lot of the issues will be deflected by this notice first, and hardcore issues, obviously they'll have to go to the lien stage. And that is a direct attack on their personal assets. They could lose their house.
So the reason I'm asking this is I'm trying to put it out there, because a lot of the people that will be listening to this will be, oh, this sounds all very great, but how can I apply it to my personal life and the activism that I'm involved in? So I'm just trying to get people to understand that they can use it in any of these situations. You can use it. So it is such a beneficial thing. I mean, it really does seem like the light at the end of the tunnel. It almost seems too good to be true.
Max, it's one of the first questions that came up for us when we were doing these shows was calls and emails and requests for how do I use this to stop chemtrails? How do I stop it to use fracking? How do I stop it to use fluoridating my water? And I'd love Heather to address it, because there's a lot of activism going on right now for a lot of different reasons all over the world.
Well, okay, these are great points, because it comes down to the point of being, right, and the point of doing. And
yeah, absolutely.
There's so many people being and doing out there that you don't hear about. And that's part of – there's so many people being and doing out there that you don't hear about. And that's part of their agenda, is to distract people or make sure that information doesn't come out. So I had an email the other day from a person that was being and doing – and doing by the UCC process, by the way. And he was a manager of a financial fund, a trust, and they buried him in a maximum detention facility to keep it quiet, along with a whole bunch of other people that have been being and doing. So I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, The Guardians. It's a kids' animation film. They had this globe where all these lights showed up. And each light represented a child that believed. And each of these lights would just go out as the kids stopped believing. And their job was to basically make that globe light up again. And I really believe that if people know how much being and doing is going on, and they're able to have a visual representation of that being and doing, where they can click on those dots of lights and see a blurb or a summary of that story, they may have more courage. You know, when I was in the investigation, I was in a courtroom, and the courtroom is just a theater, and everyone's playing their part. And at the time, I was an officer of the court, a registered, licensed officer of the court. And I had two hearings that day, and I had been forewarned by my banking contacts that they were going to use that license to essentially throw me in contempt and into jail. And so I canceled the bar license because I knew I couldn't use it to clean things up from within. So I canceled it. The best way I knew how to help was to walk away from that old system. And that next morning, went up and had prepared the night before, saying, you're a public officer, you should have a bond and an oath for your own statutes. And the judge got very upset. I wouldn't let it go. I was strutting around the courtroom, playing the part to the hilt, and he called the cops up, the sheriffs, who I had worked with as a prosecutor for many years. And the sheriffs were all standing up there, and I said, perfect timing. You guys came in. I gave them the statutes for them to be able to do their job. He's pretending to be an officer of the court. He doesn't have his bond and his oath. He says he admitted he didn't have his bond and oath on the record. I asked the court reporter to replay it back. She just looked flabbergasted and frustrated, turned beet red. The judge turned beet red, and the sheriff just sort of shrugged. Well, I said, okay. So we went through the whole scenario. Everything finished. The judge stormed off the bench, granted the bank the thing. The court reporter actually stopped reporting. She refused to report anymore. And as we left, I knew I had the next hearing to do, and I knew that the bank handlers and the bar handlers were going to be on the phones with the judge that was just handled, as well as the judge for the hearing coming up next, to figure out what to do. And I knew that the sheriffs would be called back up. However, my question was, would the sheriffs actually come back up? Because when they don't perform their job, it's a felony under their own laws, right? So we go in there to the next hearing, and essentially all the judge could sit there and do after her little rant and rave was turn to me and say, what happened? You used to be one of us. And she was, a go-to judge for the bank, and she was beeping for the sheriffs. Her and her clerk, it was funny, they caused such a distraction because they were beeping for the sheriffs, and yet they weren't showing up. And I found out later the sheriffs decided not to show up because they had received legal advice that they were liable if they did and they didn't do their job. It's a matter of being and doing. Yes, this is not the easiest choice because of the ramifications. We have a public trust advisor, legally bonded, who is sitting in a prison right now, who helped ferret all the UCC process out, who's had Washington, D.C. and all of its international equivalents in a tizzy to figure out what to do. And you know what the response was? The response was to have the UCC permanent editorial board take the very process that we did and change the laws as of July 2013 to just have the process go through so they don't even have to take you into courts anymore because the courts are failing. The courts are too much exposure for them.
Okay, well, that could be pretty shocking. So, what do you do in a situation like that where there's this guy in jail? Is it this guy who's been helping you ferret out all this information to do this?
Yeah, let's just say he is a man, he's a former minister, young guy with a beautiful family, and he just knew that what he'd be, and he wasn't going to back down from that. And he asked the same question Scott did. He started out pretty abrasive in the beginning, and then luckily he had a really great guide who was able to tell him to do it very, very gently, very kindly, but very firmly. Just say, this is who I am. This is the law I'm operating under. This is my standing and authority. Now, what is yours? And they would say whatever it was, and he'd go, great. Now, put that in a verified sworn declaration, and we're good to go. And the judges this last week apparently just flat out told them, we're not going to contract with you the way you want us to. You better contract with us the way we want you to.
Okay, but he's in jail at the moment, huh? Hey? They're just holding him there waiting more trials? Or?
Well, he exposed with IRS's own agents the fraud and the process where you could get remedy. And the process is an automated one, and everything was legitimate, legal, lawful under their own system. And when they refused to provide him remedy and they didn't want that process out there, they indicted him for a fraudulent claim. The only problem was, and they arrested Tim Turner in the process. They tried to get Tim to get Ed Miles to basically kowtow and fold. And when he didn't succeed and Miles had intel from myself and our banking community, you know, that Tim Turner is an agent. All of a sudden, 3 days later, Tim Turner was indicted and taken into custody. Now, whether that's a cover for him, because his cover was essentially about to be blown in a very public manner, you know, I don't follow that with much interest. What I do follow with interest is the fact that this is going to be a matter of moment of choice for everyone. Miles, they couldn't get him in under the case that they had filed. They tried 21 times with 30 marshals having guns on him, to the point where even marshals were asking what's going on here, because they told us we'd have the order, but they didn't understand what Miles was doing. And all of a sudden, they're told to back off. They can't move forward. So after, 21 times, they're sort of freaking out, because now the marshals are starting to question their superiors. And so,
okay, so
Miles, they brought in under a red herring, the passports.
Okay.
They went in to demand he produce his passport. So it had nothing to do with the case. They couldn't find a way to resolve that case or get him to contract with them. And so they said, produce your passport. And Miles didn't realize what they had done, done a switcheroo. And the only thing he had to ask was, great, I'll be happy to comply with you as soon as you show me your authority to even be able to demand that I produce it.
Okay.
So that's where he messed up and what actually got him into the detainment center. But as far as the rest of the process works, just ask them, where's your authority? Under what law are you operating under? They can't answer those questions, because if they do, they reveal the whole thing and admit it in the process.
Okay, and your background, you're a UCC lawyer, is that correct?
I was an attorney that was trained in international law, banking law, contract transactions. So, yes, the UCC is all of that. UCC is involved in every aspect of life.
Where do you go from here with Miles? Anybody else that's in that situation? Anybody else in prison for a crime with no victim?
If you follow the same process that Scott was talking about as far as their courtesy notice, and they can't answer it, and you do three of them, because that courtesy notice falls under what you call a UCC 3501 demand. If they can't produce the documentation that you've demanded of their standing and authority, you do it three times. After the third time, with at least 72 hours in between each, you are able lawfully and legally to issue what's called the UCC 3505, which is a certificate of dishonor. At that point, everything they've done becomes a credit to your account and a debit to their account, meaning they're absolutely commercially and personally liable.
Okay, so that's what this has done. And because what you've basically done is you've exposed the governments as corporations, and you've basically asked them to show that they're not corporations. Is that correct? And and if they are corporations, it kind of collapses everything below that as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because, and if they're going to show you as the people's government, then they've got to show the contract where they are the people's government. They have to be accountable to you guys, right?
Exactly. And so even if you're in a place where you've got a coal seam gas mining company coming onto your land and they're doing it, they've got this corporate power, basically that corporate power is invalid because their charter is invalid because it was granted to them by a government that's invalid.
True. That is true. And in fact, all the land titles, because those are all sitting at BIS for the Vatican, all of those land titles were actually canceled all across the globe. So right now, the banks have no standing, legal or lawful. Everything is held with Earth as the superior custodian, because it's as Source or God or Allah or Yahweh, whatever you want to call it, has put it. So right now there's only three custodians, and that's how the land titles are actually going to be changed. Instead of ownership, it's actually going to be a co-custodian type of situation, where if I want to go buy a piece of land, I'm not purchasing ownership of the land, I'm putting down earnest money, a bond, that I'm going to take care of that piece of land along in harmony with Earth and how it grows itself naturally. So there's a big shift in perception. So people will still be able to have their experiences on their properties and be responsible for the properties. But at the same time, it's not going to be in a slavery type of system, which the powers that were had created. And besides, people don't even own their own lands. When you actually sign a deed of trust and a promissory note, you actually are signing a landlord-tenant lease. If you read the different provisions, you'll find most of those provisions in the landlord-tenant lease section of the UCC. And you'll find the gifting language from the UCC as well. So you become, you buy it, then you immediately gift it, and then you end up being a tenant on the property.
Yeah, I've always thought the concept of land ownership was a bit strange anyway. I mean, we're only here for a little while. I think we're more like custodians than owners of anything.
Well, anybody who stopped paying their rates has found out how quickly they don't own the place.
Well, yeah, that's true as well. I mean, you never stop paying for it.
Well, I would also like to disclose, you know, the person that helped me understand what all that was actually a trustee with the Rothschild's family holdings. So there are many people within the system who are actually working to make sure you guys know what's going on.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, the information's certainly getting out there. I mean, we knew this was going to be a time of change this year, and it certainly seems to be happening. And this is a really, really a ball in our favor. I mean, this is, like I said, it's almost too good to be true. It's fantastic to see it happening, and it really does apply to everyone, and it really does collapse all of these corporations right down the line, doesn't it? And puts people right back on top. We just have to decide what to do with it, and that's what you've attempted to do with the CVAC, isn't it?
Yeah, the CVAC was just something so that you could recognize it for what it was replacing, but at the same time leaving a very open structure for the creativity. There's you guys are so creative. I mean, the things that I've seen since OPPT made things publicly known, or the opportunity for it to be publicly known, that creativity is just awe-inspiring. It's beautiful. So we didn't want to lock it down and tell people, this is what you have to be, this is how you have to do. Instead, we just said, here's a safe and guarded place for you to be and do as you choose. Just don't damage anybody else.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it. And you're preparing more documents at the moment as well, which would be, like you said, the courtesy notice. And there's also one that you're preparing, I believe, for people who are already a bit entangled in the system, and you're going to make them available soon.
Yeah, it's just a revision of the language a little bit to address the current present moment, and then to put them in the same place as this courtesy notice that just came out puts them in, which is IB, and you've got to show me, you got to rebut the specificity and particularity that I don't be.
Yeah, okay, and it's kind of like what Scott's done. Just show me who you are. Who are you people that I'm dealing with, and show me that you have any more power than the Creator. I mean, I've said this on so many shows that their whole legal system is based on ecclesiastic law. It's all based on biblical law, basically, and yet they're claiming they're a higher authority than God with what they do to us. So how do they have a legal system if they're claiming it's based on biblical law, but they're claiming they're a higher authority? It sort of cancels itself out, doesn't it?
Huh? Yeah.
And as Bob was saying earlier on, I mean, they can't rebut this. They can't invalidate this UCC filing, because if they do, they invalidate their entire system. So then what have they got? They've got anarchy, and they don't want that.
Well, they have to show all the dirty agreements that they made all the way around to own and control and manage you.
Okay, so where do we go from here? Where do you think this will take us?
Well, this takes us into transformation. And that's one of the conversations we've had in the past month have proceeded from kind of gobsmacked that the system had been foreclosed upon and shut down and just stripped away, to examining the CVACs and seeing how they were defined, to considering how it is we're going to get from where we are to where we're going, because that's actually the bit that scares most people. But in the conversations we've been having, we think we're developing a picture of how that might take place. And if we can give a few minutes to discussing that, I think that will get people thinking. And Ken, I'll get you to jump in a second, but essentially what we're seeing is there's two kinds of transformations, essentially. There's a personal transformation. There's 7 billion of us on the planet, and there's going to be a 7 billion different personal transformations as we step from one system to the other. And the other is the transformation of what were former corporate entities, of which the planet has hundreds of thousands of, you know, basically people structures with infrastructure doing things, and how they will reorganize and into what. And the picture we're forming is this, that whole industries, when this transformation starts to kick in and people start moving from operating in a a foreclosed corporate fashion to the CVACs, they will turn from corporations into cooperatives. And in the process, they'll shed the excess parts of the system, parts of, say, the auto industry that they don't need, because you won't have competition. You don't need a corporate structure because you're not enriching the shareholders. Everyone's assigned an equal value under the concept of the CVAC, so there's just no rich and no poor. There's just equitable humans. So what are we building cars for? What are we building so many for? So you'd see industries where they'd shed a proportion of companies completely, and the rest would reorganize into cooperatives. And they would make the, you know, the most brilliantly built cars ever seen on this planet, because instead of being in a predatorial commercial mode of operation, they'll be in a cooperative creative mode of organization filled with people who actually want to be there. And that's, I think, that example will cut across all of what we consider to be the major industries of the planet. Won't take a, you know, it's going to take a while. Let's be absolutely clear about that.
The first thing I see going is all of the corporations that don't provide a service or a good that we actually need. They'll go. They'll be the first thing that just disappears.
I'm talking about the ones that will stick around are the ones that make useful stuff. All of the stuff that feed off the process, they're gone. They're already gone.
Well, and there's one other point as far as what Chris said, that's all absolutely correct, but there's one other part that is preserved, and that is for those who just want to be in their own space. You know, you don't have to be part of a co-op. You can just be how you choose. Some people will love and enjoy the fun of doing and being with others that are like-minded. The point is to have that opportunity for all the opportunities, all the data be put on one table and let people choose as they want to be.
That's the hardest thing people have to get their head around, I think. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, when they're trying to get their head around a new financial system or that we're all equal or things like that, that, well, it's not fair if someone can survive by sitting around on the couch watching telly all day and, you know, others are contributing to society. And I personally think we should all take 3 months holiday, but out of the system.
See, that's kind of the point. You get out of the system what you put into it. If you're not putting any value into the system, then you have no right to take any value from a system.
That's right.
Okay, and so it works
at the moment.
Out.
People are hanging around on the couch and watching TV and doing nothing, almost as a knee-jerk reaction to the system. So if you take the system away and you take their reasons, I mean, I know people who don't want to work because they don't want to contribute to the beast, is they're saying. So they feel like getting a job or doing anything that contributes to the system, it just, they can't bring themselves to do it. And to people around them, they look like, you know, just lazy bums right now. But they're actually highly conscious and highly, highly motivated to do something. They just can't find a way of doing something that doesn't contribute to the beast yet.
You know, this is what I've discovered, and you're right, Lisa. This is probably one of the hardest things for people to get their minds around, because they've been indoctrinated in this whole slavery mentality. And when you actually are confronted with the idea that you're free, you know, like we mentioned before, you know, after the slaves were free, how many of them were still working for a year or so before they even realized it? You know, when the World War II was over, you know, how many people, you know, we're still operating under the idea that the war was still going on before they actually stepped out of the concentration camps and, you know, took their first steps out into real freedom. And here we are, you know, we've been in this system for all of our lives. And now suddenly, you know, in the stroke of a pen, all of that is gone. You know, how do you function? How do you move forward? And this is where, you know, it takes a little bit of contemplation and thinking, because a lot of these people who you think are sitting around and they're not working, they're thinking. They've got ideas, you know, they've had the time, because I've been on disability for a couple years now. And one of the things that I found is you get a lot of time now once you're not in survival mode. you get a lot of time to think and to think about what it is that you really want to do. And there's people out there that have ideas for, you know, revolutionary ideas about how to solve our energy problems, about how to solve, you know, a lot of our health problems, about how to solve a lot of the things that we face in day-to-day lives. But they've never been given an opportunity to put those things forward because of the system that was in, you know, in the way. You know, lack of money, lack of funding, lack of, you know, support, lack of exposure. And now all of these things become possible, you know, to introduce without the system being there. And we're learning right now how to operate that way, you know, with this new mentality, you could take the man out of slavery, but to get the slavery out of the man and to actually get them to be free and to recognize their own, you know, divinity before God, that there's no authority that stands between that.
Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it? There's a lot of people that find freedom to be very, very scary. And what do you do with these people? What do you do with people who actually want the system to stay there because they want a parent, you know? I mean, the way I see it, with the CVAC that you've got there, that will kind of cater for this, and people will be able to sort of make a gradual transition if they would choose to.
Yeah, well, you've heard the difference between involuntary servitude and voluntary servitude, right?
Of course.
Okay, so essentially, we knew, the OPPT, the trustees, we all knew that some would choose slavery, meaning they would choose to delegate the responsibility, because that's all it is. You're just delegating your responsibility of being and doing to someone else. And yet, if you do that transparently and you agree to the terms and conditions of how that's going to be and how that's going to be done, then all of a sudden you have something that's lawful and legal. If you have all this deception and all this non-transparency, that's where you get the involuntary servitude and the unlawfulness and the illegalness. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So the CVAC actually presented the opportunity for it all to be there. Those that aren't comfortable at the moment of being and doing responsible and consciously, they have all these others who are willing to do it for them. But there's got to be a value for value exchange, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. However, you know, we had this conversation with bankers all day long. The bankers don't think anyone's competent or of capacity, that they're ignorant and stupid, and that if you give them $1,000, it'll be gone in a heartbeat. Well, maybe 5 years ago, maybe even a year ago, maybe even 6 months ago. However, at this point, they created conditions by their own free will choice that have gotten people to the point of precipice. You know, either I'm not happy. Everyone is so not happy, and the contrasts are so obvious that even the most asleep, the one that's in coma, understands it's not working for them.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's what the feedback says.
Well, yeah, that's why this seems to be so attractive, and that's why I see this as such a great move, and I really love what you guys have done. Well, yeah, that's why this seems to be so attractive, and We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. Is there anything you'd really like to say? Anyone would really like to put some message across?
Well, I'd just like to say that the thing that scares people most is the feeling that the system's being kind of pulled out from under them. But what we ask you to do is stop and think and read the documents if you can, because there's a lot of information in there that will highlight just how transparent and how equitable everything is.
Where are the documents, Chris? What are the websites that people can go to find out the information about all this?
Okay, well, we've got the People's Trust 1776.org. That literally, as written as it's spoken, People's Trust 1776.org. That website was meant for legal disclosure, and it's not a general information website, but the documents, the core documents, are all there, and if you're inclined to read them, I'd highly recommend it. But what I wanted to say about it was that some people express that this will unleash anarchy, and I say absolutely not. I think get them to sit down and think about it for even 10 minutes, and it's going to unleash creativity from one end of the planet to the other. you won't be able to hold people down. They will just say, this is what we've been waiting for. This is how we can actually take and create a community that's absolutely our own. And yes, we've got to take responsibility for it. Yes, we've got a lot to learn. But this is our chance to actually be and do something really human instead of just living at the behest of a small group of people who want to do it entirely for their own benefit. And we can break completely away from that, and is, as Heather says, in the twinkling of an eye.
Well, yeah, and people, and the other website I believe is optin.com. That'd be OPPT-in.com.
And Lisa, do you want to point out the two radio shows we're doing during the week?
Sure. Every Monday night in the US at 7 o'clock on Freedom Reigns channel on Blog Talk, and which is, I think, 11 a.m. for Sydney, the east coast of Australia. And
7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
7 o'clock Eastern Standard, thank you. That's called The Opt-In Show on Freedom Reigns. And on Tuesday evening in the U.S. at 8 p.m. and 12 midday for Sydney, we have the Collective Imagination Show. And the opt-in show is very much focused on updates, process, the documents themselves, and education. And then on the Collective Imagination Show, we tend to have the deeper, larger discussions around what this all means for us on an individual level, on a collective level, you know, the questions about what do we do now with these CVACs? What do we do with the powers that were? What do we do? What is self-governance? You know, so we sort of ask all of those questions.
And yeah, because it really is new terrain. We're entering into a completely new terrain now, aren't we? And it's still part of the learning process, isn't it?
It
well,
is.
The answer to all those questions, Lisa, is being and doing.
Exactly.
I really enjoy the moment that you will understand the absolute context of your being and your doing and the power of it.
You know, I think you.
It's so wonderful to see this, because this is what I've been telling people for years. You know, it's all about knowing who you are and understanding the whole system's fiction. It only exists on paper. We made it all up. I just wrote it down and we decided to go along with it. You know, and we need to step above it and realize that these politicians are just trustees, and they've enacted a system which they're using to milk the wealth of the planet at our expense. It's essentially people farming, human trafficking. That's what we're being subject to. I've always been able to see this ever since I was a kid, but I never knew how to put it down on paper. And that's why I love what you've done, Heather. You've managed to just put this down because of your legal understanding, and you have this spiritual understanding to go with it. And it seems to be so fitting for a mother to have done this. As I said earlier, the return of the divine feminine. And it just seems so fitting that this is sort of come from, you know, essentially the actions of a woman has been a major catalyst in this. And that's really good to see. And I really do want to have you on again. I'll have to have maybe each of you on separately to give us the whole lowdown of what each of you are doing. Because I love the work that all of you are doing on all of this, and it's a real milestone, I think, and it's wonderful to be a part of it.
Thank you, Max. We've not seen anything take hold like this. You know,
it just feels right. This one, it just feels right. And those radio shows that you're doing, especially dedicated to the opt-in. I mean, I believe you had 140,000 on the first one that you did, listening on Blog Talk, and then you had 197,000 on the second show that you did. I believe there are also a few, if you look at the IPs, there is a few banking companies on there listening as well.
Oh, we know we've got an audience from within, yes. And, you know, they're enjoying the show, apparently.
Have you got much feedback from the system about what you're doing and the feathers that you're ruffling? I suppose you're ruffling a few.
Oh, yeah.
What sort of feedback are you getting, Heather? Like you said, they're going, look what happened, you used to be on our side.
Yeah. Well, and I'm still on their side. I'm just on their eternal heart side. So right now, for instance, calls came in yesterday about gold being moved from China over to the U.S. Treasury because something in their vaults, since all the gold was replaced with tungsten. Yet all the gold that came from China was stolen from the Americas. What I was told, it's ancient American gold. So whether that's Mayan, Aztec, but it's stolen gold, and they're going to spin it as a as it already have been in the U.S. Treasury. At the higher levels, they'll spin it as a loan. And at the highest level, they'll know that essentially China owns the U.S. So basically, it's a repeat of what they did in the 30s. And yet, that's where the fun's going to really start to happen, because once they make that move, then, and all the gold shows up on the streets, everyone's going to know the truth, and they're going to start going, well, what's in your vaults? Mm. So they're really shooken up. They're very, very scared, because people are being and doing. And you're inspiring others to be and do. The power of that being and doing, I cannot stress it enough.
Yeah, I think it might be very telling that we've just seen, since you've done all this filing, I think it's very telling that we've just seen the Pope resign and Queen Beatrice step down. I wonder if that's got anything to do with all of this.
You'll get some data that's going to come out. You know, as far as everyone keeps asking about ET disclosures. Well, you're going to find that many of them are already sitting in different positions down here, and they know how energy works. They know the energetic accounting, and those will be the ones that step away first. So you have a lot of exposure in the Vatican, and believe me, there are so many people within the slavery systems that made that happen. So just trust in the eternal hearts, focus on being and doing. And even if you fumble your way through it at the beginning, you're going to figure it out. Just point your compass within.
Okay. Well, look, it's been fantastic to have you on and talk to you all. And I'm definitely going to have you back on again very soon when we get a little bit more exposure for all of this. You'll have those. When will those documents be available? They posted on the website now, the new documents you're working on?
They only went up a few hours ago. They're available for download on the op.com under resources documents. That's the original courtesy notice. I believe Kawila Pele, American Kabuki, and D from Removing the Shackles will probably have them up on their websites very soon as well.
Okay, and I'll download them, and I'll add them to the Crow House as well.
And the revised one, for those with matters already going, that should be out within the next 48 hours or so. I've got sick kids at home, so I apologize for any delay, but that's the truth of the matter.
Okay.
We do understand you're a mother. And also, just to let people know that the documents come with instructions. Each document will come with some instructions. We really want people to read those.
Okay, that's great, Chris. That's really good that you've done that. Well, keep up the great work, folks. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I will definitely have you back on soon, but we're completely out of time, so I'm going to have to knock it on the head here.
Thank you, Max. Thank you
for coming on.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Max.
And that's it for the day, folks. We've actually gone a fair bit over time today, but I thought it was a very worthwhile topic, and we might have to stretch the issue a little bit. I will be having Heather and Chris and perhaps Scott and Ken Bartle back on the show to talk about this action as it progresses and keep you posted on what it's all about. But it does certainly look very good to me, and I suggest that everybody look into it. Again, the websites are peoplestrust1776.org and OPPT-in.com. And the other site is American Kabuki. And those are the sites where you can find the information that relates to this, and I suggest that you all look into it, because this really is a huge step for freedom for all of mankind, well, at least for those who wish to participate. Thank you again for joining me on the show today, folks. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. It's always very much needed and very appreciated. Thank you for joining me on the show today. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then, and please spread this radio show and spread the information about the One People's Trust. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week, but now I will say goodbye. In Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.